This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, with some 1.8 billion people between the ages of 10 and 24 around the globe, young people have a key role to play in forging lasting peace agreements, according to UN Youth Envoy Jayathirma Wickramanayake. They're important to maintaining peace and security in communities and to building social cohesion, she explains in an interview with UN News. With half the world under the age of 30, young people must be an integral part of the UN peace and security agenda too, she says, adding that you can't build peace without engaging half the world's population. She began by explaining to Liz Scafidi how the youth peace and security agenda has evolved.
The Youth Peace and Security Agenda is really a grassroots, bottom-up movement of young people asking the United Nations to recognize their role as active builders of peace. Because for so long, young people were considered as either perpetrators of violence, so as members of armed groups or terrorist groups, or as victims of violence in places affected by conflict. But majority of the young people in the world were saying that we don't belong into any of these categories, so don't use this binary definition to define us in peace and security contexts. Majority of us want to become youth peace builders, and we are already trying to build peace in our community. So Youth Peace and Security Agenda really came together with the voices of these young people coming to the UN, asking the UN, and especially the Security Council, to recognize their role as active and positive builders of peace.
How do youth and peace complement each other?
My argument or my thesis is that without engaging young people, we cannot achieve lasting peace. Currently, our world is youngest it has ever been. We have half of the world's population under the age of 30 and about 1.8 billion people between the ages of 10 and 24. You cannot build peace without engaging half the world's population. We cannot ignore young people as inexperienced or those who do not understand peace or those who should not have a seat at the table when it comes to building peace. Young people are important to maintain peace and security in communities. Young people are important to build social cohesion among different parties who do not agree with each other. But also, if young people do not grow up in areas, grow up in countries, grow up in communities where there is peace, they cannot realize their fullest potential. They cannot access education. They cannot access job opportunities. Therefore, they cannot realize their full potential and they cannot contribute to the economic and social development of their countries. So I think as much as young people are crucial to peace, peace is also crucial for young people.
What role can local young people play in peacekeeping and peace building?
We actually see the role of local youth groups in supporting peacekeeping efforts by the UN and peace building efforts by the UN in many parts of the world. We see young people organizing awareness campaigns online and offline. We see young people standing up for human rights, democratic values, free and fair elections in countries where the UN is also trying to build peace and continue our peacekeeping mandates. We see how young people bring different parties together, different parties who do not agree with each other. In places like Colombia, when the referendum for peace was called upon, it was the young people who were out there on the streets asking for parties to agree on a peace agreement. In the Philippines, it was young experts who played a key role in bringing the peace agreement together. In South Sudan, we have young people in the peace negotiations, in the follow-up of the peace negotiations, in the implementing committees of the peace agreement. So young people play a key role in ensuring peace in communities, but also in places where young people have been part of also the groups who perpetrated violence, they also have a key role when it comes to disengaging young people who are already engaged in violence and reintegrating them into society. So that peer-to-peer connection they have with other young people can help not only in raising awareness and advocacy, but also in disintegrating and reintegrating former combatants, for an example, into their communities.
How does your office interact with the UN peacekeeping missions? I know you visited Kosovo and South Sudan.
Yes, we spoke about the Youth Peace and Security Agenda before, and because young people asked for this agenda to be adopted by the UN, the Security Council in 2015 adopted a resolution called Resolution 2250 on Youth Peace and Security. And there has been two subsequent resolutions on 2419 and 2535. These resolutions actually calls for my office and my role to promote the role of young people as positive actors of peace in the areas or in contexts where the UN is active in. So Youth Peace and Security is a very big part of my mandate. So I try to work very closely with the Department for Peacekeeping Operations, but also with the Department of Peacebuilding and Political Affairs to make sure that both at the headquarters level, but also at the country level, the UN works with young people, not only as beneficiaries of our programs, but really as partners who can help the UN achieve their mission. So for an example, in Kosovo, I had the opportunity to attend the UN Youth Assembly of Kosovo, which is convened by UNMIK, our peacekeeping mission in Kosovo, where young people of Serbian origin and young people of Albanian origin came together, sometimes for the first time in their lives, they met young people from other ethnic groups. So bringing them together, agreeing on common solutions, discussing difficult issues, discussing hard issues, was something that was quite humbling to witness. And to be there to give that political support from the highest level of the United Nations, from the headquarters, was something that was very memorable for me in my term as the Youth Envoy. And of course, in South Sudan is the world's youngest country in terms of the population of young people. More than 70% of South Sudan's population is young. It's a very young country. So for the UN to achieve its mission of peacekeeping or peace building or democratization, it is very difficult to do that without the participation and support of youth. So being in South Sudan, meeting with young people, meeting with youth groups who played a key role in forming the revitalization agreement and now are involved in the implementation of the peace agreement, working with the youth groups who are using art and culture to promote values of peace in the country. I met this group of young artists called Anataban when I was in South Sudan, who were using arts and culture and theater to talk to other young people about, you know, leaving the guns behind and taking books and pencils and pens and reintegrating back into society. We helped the UN mission in Cyprus to launch the Youth Champions Initiative for Peace and Environment by bringing peace and climate change together and promoting the role of young people as key actors in both peace and climate, because these two are intersectional issues. So through engaging in field missions and by bringing the UN and young people closer together in the field, but also at the HQ level by promoting tools and guidances and best practices and advocacy initiatives, such as the campaign that we are supporting UN peacekeeping with on the International Day for Peacekeepers, we try to advance the Youth Peace and Security Agenda in the peace and security arm of the UN.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think one important thing I'd like to bring to this conversation is the need to have dedicated resources and the dedicated support from the UN side to be able to work with young people. Many young people, when I visit countries, particularly countries affected by conflict or humanitarian crises, they tell me that they sometimes don't even know how to approach the UN or who to approach at the UN. So we've seen, for an example, in places like Kosovo, when there is a dedicated youth focal point or a dedicated youth advisor, young people find that entry point into the UN. There is a young person who is their peer, who is a part of the UN, who is approachable, and who you can go to with your ideas, with your proposals. So I would really, really encourage UN peacekeeping DPO to consider having youth focal points or youth advisors in their field missions around the world to really give that entry point to young people to come and work together with peacekeepers and the UN architecture in their countries. The second thing I need to say is for member states, we have so many resolutions talking about young people, their involvement in peace, but we don't have direct or sustainable resources that goes into supporting youth programs. Many youth programs in the UN right now are being funded through extra budgetary resources or through ad hoc approaches that are not sustainable. So if member states are serious about implementing various resolutions on youth, peace and security, they have to put funding, sustainable funding there for the UN to be able to work meaningfully with young people, but also for us to directly support youth organizations who are building peace in their communities. Thirdly, I think a lot of young people risk their safety and risk their lives to come out and speak up for peace, to speak up for human rights, to speak up for democratization in their country. And as the UN and as peacekeeping and peace building architecture of the UN, I think we have a responsibility to protect those young activists when they speak up, because they are, at the end of the day, pushing for the same values and same principles that we want to push as the United Nations. So my third sort of call to action from our UN colleagues everywhere in the world is, please support youth activism when they talk about peace or when they talk about human rights, but also please protect them when they are being retaliated against by both state and non-state actors.